Today's Shir is Masechta Bava Metzi Daf Samachay. We will begin on Daf Samachay, Amud Aleph, 7 lines from the top of Amud. It says, the Gemara Amud Abaya, Haiman, the Masik, Zuza, the Rabisa Bechavre. Somebody who violated the Issa Ribbis and is demanding the Ribbis payment from the Loiva, the Malva had made up with the Loiva that they're going to pay Ribbis, and he's asking for that ribbis, because lechite arba gruza bezuza b'shuka. So they had made up a certain amount, which would be the ribbis katsutsa, which would be the amount of ribbis they would have to pay. And the price of wheat in the market were 40 saw for a zuz. 4 saw for a zuz. V'yavle iu. And the loiva gave the malva, instead of giving him a zuz of ribbis, that was the amount he gave him 5 sov chitin. Now, as we just said, a zuz is equal to 4 sov chitin. Now, as we discussed earlier in our shiurim, the halacha says that this malva has to return the ribbis. When he has to return the ribbis, abba mefkirimenei. We only take away from him 4 sov chitin, because the amount of ribbis that was agreed upon was for a zuz, which is equal to 4 soim. That's all was the ribbis payment. Eidach, the 5th saw of chitin, was not because of ribbis. Uzlehu the kamoizel gabei. He gave him the chitin at a better price. And that means, even though one zuz equal four soim, he gave it to him at the price of 5 soim. And therefore, the entire ribbis payment here is a zuz, which is the value of 4 saw, that's all that the malva has to return. Rava, says the Gemara, Rava actually disagrees. He says, chamisha mafkinamenei, we make the malva return 5 saw of chitin. Why? The mikara betairas. He paid the entire payment as a ribbis payment. And since he paid the entire payment as a ribbis payment, then the halacha is that that's what has to be paid back. And interestingly to point out that even Rava, I saw Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman in the Sefer Yalos HaShachar suggests, agrees that the ribbis payment is really only 4 zuz. However, because it's difficult for us to differentiate what is the ribbis payment and what is the not the ribbis payment, and it was given in one lump payment of 5 zuz, that's why Chazal said it should be paid that way. But actually, Rava will agree that that's only midrabbanan. Continues the Gemara. Somebody who's demanding 4 zuz of ribbis as payment. That means somebody lent somebody else money, and the agreement was that there's going to be a ribbis attachment, the interest payment of 4 zuz. And the loiva gave the malva a coat that was equal to 4 zuzim. When the dayonim take from the malva the ribbis payment, we take away from him 4 zuz, glima loy mafkinimene. We can't take away from him the garment, because the agreement wasn't over our garment. The agreement was on money. And therefore, the garment is not considered the ribbis payment. What is considered the ribbis payment is that he owes him 4 zuz. And what happened is, the way I saw the Ritva explains, that there are 2 separate transactions that actually happened here. One is that he paid him ribbis. And as we're learning, if somebody pays ribbis, you have to pay back for that ribbis. The other issue that happened over here is that he bought the coat. And since the halacha is viewing these two transactions as 2 separate transactions, the halacha is that he has to give back the coat. He has to give back the ribbis, but not the coat. Says the Gemara, Rava Amar, Rava disagrees, Glima Mafkirimenei, we make him give back the coat. Why? My tamaki hechda le limro. We don't want that people should see the malva walking around with this coat. And he says, and everybody will say, glim de mechsev koi, that the coat that this malva is wearing, glim de revisahu. In other words, it's very similar to what we learned earlier. Chazal were very concerned about the mechsik ribis, about the maris ayin of ribis. And included in the concern that Chazal had in the maris ayin issue of ribis is also that people shouldn't walk around that thinking that this person on a regular basis violated the ribis. So I saw that, how could that work? Isn't, as we just explained, wasn't there a kinyan? So the Mefarshim explained that even though there was a ribis payment, even though there was a kinyan, as we just said, Chazal have the ability to turn that around. Amar Rav, a high man, the master traces zuz of the ribis b'chavrei. Somebody who owes somebody else 12 zuz of ribis. Again, there was a loan, and the amount that was agreed upon that would be the interest payment would be 12 zuz. V'agale chotznemis agrabasara, and the loiva rented to the malva a piece of property that was usually rented for 10 zuz. V'agre nale betleisa. He said to the malva, you could rent this property, and that property will be the ribis payment. And the malva agreed to this. So now, so the question is, when we make the malva pay for what, give back the ribis, says the Gemara, we will make him pay back the ribis, trace the mafkinimanei. We make him pay back 12 zuz. But he can't say, well, I only got 10 zuz as a ribis payment, because the value of the property that I got, the value of the rental property that I got, was only 10 zuz. So that should mean that my interest payment is equal only to 10 zuz. So yes, I have to give back my interest payment, but I shouldn't have to give back the 10 zuz. Amalei Rav Papa, Amalei Rav Acha Medifta LeRavina. So Rav Acha Medifta asks Ravina, V'leimalei, why can't the malva say to the loiva, Ki hagri hacha, the fact that I was willing to pay, take a property that really is worth only 10 zuz in exchange for an obligation of 12 zuz, that would come a shtark lay. Because I was getting this money, because as we often learn, ribis, and that's part of the issue of ribis, is, so to speak, free money. You don't work for that money. However, that's why I said I'll take a property that's only worth 10 zuz in exchange for a debt that's really 12 zuz. But now that Bezdin is making me pay back, I'm not making any money. They're taking money out of my pocket. I'm only going to pay at the rate that everybody pays. And this rental property is only worth 2 zuz. So why is this claim not accepted, says the Gemara? The loiva says to him, you knew that I owe you 12 zuz, and you knew that this is a property that's worth 10 zuz, and you still took the property, savrit v'kablet. So as far as you're concerned, this is 12 zuz, and that's what your bezdin will take and give back to me. Says the Mishnah, ma'avin al schar, ve'ma'avin al mecher. The Mishnah teaches us a halacha that in certain cases it's permissible to do something which looks like ribis, in certain cases not. And the Mishnah explains, ketzed, if somebody rented a property to somebody else, and he said to him, if you pay me up front, then you could have this property, the rental fee, for 10 slum for the year. However, if you're going to pay me on a monthly basis, rent on a monthly basis, it'll be selo l'chaydish. So it'll cost you a selo l'chaydish, which is a total of 12. So he's giving him a discount for rent, for paying up the rent up front. The halacha is that type of transaction is mutter. However, machlo sadeu, if somebody sold a piece of property, and he says to the buyer, if you pay me now, harei shelcha be'elav zuz, that I'll give it to you for 1,000 zuz. Im legarin, but if you want to pay, push off the payment until the end of the time that you'll be able to sell your wheat, then you'll have income, the shnei masos money, you'll have to pay 12 mana. That halacha is, it's asur. It's interesting, the first case of the Mishnah was speaking about a rental. The second case in the Mishnah was speaking about a sale. And Taisus Yontov asks, why we speak about rental, does the Mishnah use the word, chatzeroi? And when we talk about the sale, the Mishnah uses the word chatzeroi. So Taisus Yontov comes to teach us that if somebody has to sell property, sometimes a person is desperate for selling property, he should preferably sell his field, which is an investment, versus selling his home. And therefore, when we speak about rental, we speak about renting your chatzer, because you're not selling it. But on the other hand, when I speak about a sale, the sale is preferably sell your field, don't sell your sada. But of course, the question that immediately comes to mind is our Mishnah teaching us a very big difference in halacha between when it's a sale or a rental. And ask the Gemara, Mishnah Reisha, Mishnah Seifa, why is there this difference? Says the Gemara, Rav of Yosdam Tamayu, Shchiras Enem Meshtalam Esmen Asayf. Midereisa, Shchiras is only, you're only obligated to pay for a rental at the end. So when somebody rents a property, he really owes me the money only at the end of the term. Hi, and therefore in the case of the rental of the Mishnah, given the Maimata's Mana Ligbi, the renter doesn't really have a right to collect his rent. So when he's not doing him a favor and saying, well, I'll take your money, and you owe me for using your money. Lav Aga Natale, he's not doing anything. He's not, the tenant has every right to hold off. So the real price of the rent is 12 azuz for a month. The fact that he's willing to give it cheaper because he'll get the money up front doesn't make it into a problem. Hi, Domalei. And therefore, what he says to him, if you'll pay me up front, the es slum lashani, that if you pay me up front, I'll give it to you for 10 slum for the year. Azulia de Merzagabei. He's not really doing interest. He's just giving him a discount because he's getting all the money up front. Sefer, but the Sefer is speaking about a case of the Zvinininu, where there's a sale taking place. And when a sale takes place, boil a mishkalei demei ma'achshav, the person who's selling whatever he's selling is entitled to get all of his money up front. Hilkach, and by saying, well, if you pay me later, it'll cost you more. What that means is aganatalihu. You're paying for holding on to the money. And that's awesome. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava Dokka Rabbana Bahamilsa. Chazal tried really to understand this halacha that we just said, Tzchiris Eina Mishtalam El Basayf, that when you rent something, the obligation for payment only comes at the end of the time. Vokma Kra, and they based it on the following pasuk. The pasuk says, Chzir Shana B'Shana. From here we learn, Tzchiris Shana Zu, every year Tzchiris Eina Mishtalam El Shana Acheris does not become obligated only into next year. When we speak about the sugya of Schir Enim Shtalemus El Basayf, this was a sugya that we learned in Masecht Baba Kama, Daf Tzadik Tes Amin Aleph, and there was a machlokes if Ein L'Schiris El Basayf or Yeshna L'Schiris Betchil El Basayf. So the Rishonim point out that even according to the opinion that holds Yeshna L'Schiris Betchil El Basayf, that when you're living in my property, every day you own it, you owe me money, that's only regarding when the obligation to pay kicks in. But regarding the actual payment only is obligated at the end of the term. And therefore, Taisus points out that even though that's halacha we're discussing now regarding a rental property, the halacha is that a worker, even though he's only entitled to payment at the end of the job, he's allowed to walk out a mill of the job and get paid as for as much that he's done. And as we learned and it's a Gemara Masechet Kedushin as well. What is the nafka mina of ein l'schiris el l'psoif or yesh no l'schiris metchila atsoif? What's going to be the halacha if somebody was mekadosh a woman with the wages that are owed to him? If we say yesh no l'schiris metchila atsoif, so at this point, every day when I work, you owe me money. So that becomes a malva, a loan. And the halacha is hamalva kadosh b'malva, ein mekadoshes. If ein l'schiris el l'psoif, so then you could use that money for the kedushin. So the Gemara said, how do we know the ein l'schiris el l'psoif? The Gemara quoted the pasuk l'schiris shana b'shana. So Tosfos asks a question. The Gemara Masechta B'chayrus says that we're not allowed to take truma from the old crop on the new crop. And how do we learn that? Shana shana, that every year is a separate year. And from here we see that Shana B'Shana doesn't mean the end of the year. So the simple terrace is, there's a difference between when the Pasuk uses the word Shana Shana versus when the Pasuk uses the word Shana B'Shana. When it says Shana B'Shana, then it means the end of the year. When it says Shana Shana, it means even the beginning of the year. We just learned the halacha that Ein L'Schiris Ela L'Psoif. So, of course, the question that comes up, what is the halacha, there are many halachic questions that come up. What happens if somebody, where it's a place that people do typically pay rent up front? So, even though our Gemara is teaching us, ein schiris el l'psoif, the obligation for rent only comes at the end of the year, but let's say we live in a place where rent is always paid up front. So now the explanation that the Gemara just offered, that really the tenant doesn't owe me the money until the end of the year, doesn't really apply in such a place. So the question is, do we say that we follow the Minig HaMedina? The Chochmas Adam, in Klal Kuf Lamed Vav Sif Yud, says, of course, if this rule of Ein L'Schiris El L'Psoif is only applicable when it's not contrary to the Minig HaMedina. But if the Minig HaMedina is that you pay everything up front, you can't change that. The Machna Frayim disagrees. And I think Pshat in the Machna Frayim is just like we learned in our Gemara, that this halacha of Ein L'Schiris El L'Psoif is based on a pasuk, something that's learned from a pasuk we have no way of overriding. And therefore, even if the Minig HaMedina is contrary, we don't pay attention to the Minig HaMedina. So, the halacha is, ask the Rimi Gash, if somebody doesn't have to pay for rent only at the end of the year, so now when you pay rent at the beginning of the year, which you weren't obligated to do, so you're giving me a loan. And if I'm giving you a discount, so that means you're getting ribbis for the loan that you gave me. So why is that mutter? Says the stipler, that even though we're learning now that ein l'schiris ela l'psoif, that even though you don't owe me the rent till the end of the year, and therefore when you're paying me the money at the beginning of the year, you're essentially lending me money. And when I'm giving you a discount, that should be considered interest, says the stipler, that somebody who's paying rent at the beginning of the year is not called alvar. It's not called that he's lending me money. Because he's doing it because he wants to be able to get an apartment. Says, I understand what the stipler means to say, is that the halacha of ribbis, and this is an important concept that comes up often in our shiurim, the halacha of ribbis is stated in by loans, but if it's not a situation of a loan, it's mutter. The Maral explains that we know that Chazal teaches us schar mitzvah b'hayah al malekah, that there is no schar for mitzvah in this world. And the question is that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is careful to follow all of the rules of the Torah. And one of the rules of the Torah is b'yoymai titein scharai, that an employer has to pay his employee in a timely fashion. So if that's the case, why is the halacha that an employee could wait, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives us a schar at the end? Says the Maral, Because here we're learning, ein l'schiris el l'psoif. You're only entitled to get your salary at the end. We're not finished. While we're in this world, even if we do mitzvahs, and even if we learn Torah, we're not finished. And therefore, since we're not finished, we're not entitled to payment. And that's what I saw that the Shem Shmuel explains why when some only in a case, why when we finish, when we make a siyum, is it such a big simcha? Because we're learning that you only get the schar, ein l'schiris el l'psoif. You're only entitled to your schar at the end of the year. So at the end, when you finish something. So when somebody learns a mesechta or he makes a siyum, that's a very auspicious moment, because that's the moment that he's entitled to the schar. And that perhaps shot that many svarim say that the malach, that's considered the malach ra, the bad malach, is called Samoel. And many suggest that the word Samoel stands siyum mesechta ein lasois. He's very opposed to us making a siyum. Why is he so opposed to us making a siyum? Because a siyum is when a Jew is able to get schar. And he doesn't want us to get schar. And that's why he does whatever is in his power to avoid us being able to make a siyum. Vim l'gayrit. But we learned in the Mishnah, if it was done by selling the granary, then he says, if I give you money now, I'll pay you, and you pay me less, and then you pay me more if I only get paid later. That's usur. I'm Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman introduces a new concept, and that's the concept of tarsha. That is, if I sell you merchandise with the stipulation that you'll only have to pay me back later, and when you pay me back later, you'll have to pay me more than if you would have paid me up right now. And the word tarsha, I saw the Rishonim explain, is from the word quiet. It's not the obvious ribbis, it's not the obvious interest where I'm charging you interest for a loan. It's a quiet interest, but the Gemara is suggesting that it's considered interest. If we learned in our Mishnah, if you want to wait to pay for the property till later, you're going to have to pay shneim osur. You have to pay more than it's osur. So ask the Gemara, how could Rav Nachman say that tarsha is mutter? In our Mishnah, there was very clear numbers identified. You pay me now, it'll be less. You pay me later, it'll be more. That's why it's ribbis. Hocha, in the case of tarsha loy kotzle, he didn't say what, he said, I'm going to sell it to you. And he gives him a price. And then he says to him, well, if you'll pay me up front everything, I'll give you a discount. Since there it's not so obvious that it's a case of ribbis, because it's only a situation where I'm telling you, if you'll wait for later, I'll give you more. If you wait for now, I'll give you less. So therefore the halacha is that's not considered, that's why it's not the same. We just learned our Gemara, a very important part of our Gemara, is Schiris Enem Shtalemes El B'Soif. And in the Haggadah, we say, Ilo Horig B'Chareyem, we say that even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have killed the B'Chareyem of Mitzrayim, V'la Nosnos M'manem, Dayenu. Why, what is the connection? Says the Shtzlach. He says that we know that we were supposed to be in Mitzrayim 400 years. We ended up being in Mitzrayim only 210. How do we make up for those 190 years? So he says that even if we, by being in other galus, but it was worth it just to get out of Mitzrayim. Because to get out of Mitzrayim, which was the Ervas Aretz, the Mem Tesh Shari Tumah, it would have been worth it. And that's why we said, Ilu Harigas Bechareyim. Even if we would have killed the Bechareyim, we wouldn't have gotten paid because we didn't finish the time that we owe. It would have been worth it just to get out. So I saw that the Sefer Evan Yisrael explains that if somebody rents an apartment from somebody else, and our Gemara is saying that Schiris Einem Shtalemes Ela B'Soif, you only pay rent at the end of the year. And if you don't pay the rent, then of course your lease will not be renewed. And what happens at the end of the year? You have to pay your rent, and the landlord comes to examine the apartment and sees if you treated his apartment properly. If he sees that he treated it properly and you paid the rent properly, then he renews the lease. Otherwise, he won't. Says the Sefer Evin Yisrael, that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with us every year on Rosh Hashanah. Every year on Rosh Hashanah, the term is up. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees, looks, how did we behave this year? And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we behaved properly, he renews the lease. And if not, chas v'shalom. So the Gemara just said that Rav Nachman said a very bechiddush, that even though in our Mishnah, if you sell something and you're willing to give a discount, if you get paid up front, it's usur. That's only where it was obvious. That was said, you pay up front, you get pay less, you pay later, you pay more. But if it's not that way, if you just said, this is the price, and then afterwards, through a negotiation, you're willing to give it for less because I'm getting paid up front, that is mutter. Now, says the Gemara, but Rav Papa comes up with even a different type of tarsha. What Rav Papa was, the business of Rav Papa was that he used to produce and sell beer. And he used to sell the beer in Tishrei and get paid in Nisan. So, and that's in Nisan, when people had sold the beer, he would collect the payment according to the value of beer in Nisan. Now, the value of beer in Nisan is more than the value of beer in Tishrei. So even though he gave them the beer in Nisan, in Tishrei, he waited to collect till Nisan, and he collected a higher price. Amra Papa, Tashli Dishari, my type of Tasha, which we just described, is permitted. My Tama. Shechroi Loi Pasid, the beer doesn't get ruined. If I would have held on to the beer, Rav Papa says, until Nisan, it would be far. It will be perfectly fine. Moreover, Zuzi Leitzrichna, I'm not in need of cash. He was obviously a wealthy man. I know the Kivna Misal Gabel Kayak. So by giving the customer the beer earlier, I'm the one that's doing him a favor. Because it was up to me, I would just hold on to the beer and I would pay for it at the end of the season and sell it at the end of the season at Nisan at the Nisan price. And therefore, in this case, Rav Papa says that this is a better tarsha than what we learned in the Mishnah, and better than in Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman was interested in renting the apartment. Now here he had no reason to rent it at this point. Why are you looking at it from your perspective? And your perspective is you didn't do any. You didn't need to do this. Why don't we say zil basa de tu? Why don't we look at this from the perspective of the customer? Because let's think about it. Says the Gemara, dila havale zuzi. If the customer would have had money, so what would he have done? He would be able to buy beer now in Tishrei. Not only would he be able to buy beer in Tishrei, he would only have to pay the Tishrei price. Hashta de lesle zuzei, now because he doesn't have money, so he has to take the beer and not be able to pay for it. And since he can't pay for it, shakli ki yukad el kamei, he has to pay the more expensive price. So from his perspective, maybe it should be considered a case of ribbis. Nada Gemara speaks about a third type of tarsha, and that's the tarsha of Rav Chama. Rav Chama was a businessman, and he used to sell merchandise on credit. What the people who bought it would do is that they would take that merchandise to a place where it could be sold for more money. And then they got paid for that merchandise in a place where it was more valuable. They would take that money and buy in that location merchandise that was cheaper than it was in the place where Rav Chama and they lived. And they would come back, pay Rav Chama the amount that they got for the merchandise that he sent with them, which was more expensive than the place that he gave it to them. And the way that they made a profit was by selling the merchandise that they brought that was cheaper where they brought it and more expensive where they sold it. So says, and says the Gemara, furthermore, the obligation, the ownership of that merchandise was Rav Chama's until it was taken to that location and sold. Amar Rav Chama, Tasha Didi, the Tasha that we just explained, says Rav Chama, Vadishari, is certainly permissible. My Tama, the Nichol de Leke Rishusei, they're happy that they don't have to pay. And they're happy that this merchandise still is considered under the ownership of Rav Chama. The Kolhech de Ka'azli, because wherever they come and they say that this merchandise belongs to Rav Chama, there's a number of rules that apply to Talmid Chachamim. One is Shafchalei Mascha, they get a tax break. Talmid Chacham did not have to pay taxes. V'nafgalei Shuka. And the halacha also is that when you bring merchandise of a Talmud Chacham, no one else is allowed to sell their merchandise until the Talmud Chacham's merchandise is sold. And therefore, this is not considered usur. So therefore, this type of tarsha is mutter. V'ilchsek Rav Chama, you're allowed to sell this type of tarsha because it's not considered a loan. And since it's not considered a loan, because they don't owe you anything until they bring it to there. It's a loan means that you really owe me the money from up front. Here you don't owe me the money up front. And since you don't owe me the money, it's not a loan. And therefore, that isn't certainly a case of havah that it should be usur. Here our Gemara has taught us special halachas that Talmidei Chachamim are treated in those days. Talmidei Chachamim did not have to pay taxes, and Talmidei Chachamim had first right to sell their merchandise. The question is this appropriate? Then the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayis says that it's inappropriate for Talmidei Chachamim to use their position for their financial benefit. But the Shas HaTshuvos Chelkas Yaakov says we really have to look at every time and place. In a time and place where Talmidei Chachamim are given the proper covet, and Talmidei Chachamim have the ability to earn a living, so there the halacha indeed is Talmidei Chachamim have to be careful not to use their position for financial gain. But if it's in a time and a place where Talmidei Chachamim don't have that option, it's a time and a place where Talmidei Chachamim, if you're not going to give them the incentive, then they're not going to be treated, they're not going to learn, and they won't be available to teach Torah. So then the halacha is that Talmidei Chachamim should take advantage of their position. The Paiskim discuss many questions. One question that they discuss is, can you get a discount for something that you're paying up front versus doing it later? So many Paiskim say, the Bris Yehuda discusses, that most merchandise in a store has a price, and anything that has a price is called Shemasa Yedua. And since it's something which is Shemasa Yedua, if you get a discount for paying up front that otherwise you wouldn't have gotten, therefore it's usur. So the Shaul Satshuvus, Emre Yosef, however, says, if people pay by credit card, so when you pay by credit card, the storekeeper only gets the credit card payment and after 30 days, after 60 days. So and he also has to pay a percentage. If the storekeeper is willing to give up that in order that he shouldn't have to wait for his money from the credit card company, in order that he shouldn't have to pay a commission to the credit company, that is considered mutter. I saw that the Sefer Atel Moshel has another discussion. It's very common in many places that they sell bus cards. And the way a bus card works is that you pay for a bus card and you pay for many rides, and by paying for many rides you get a discount. So why is this not an issue with what we're learning in our shir? Why is that not considered that I'm paying extra, that if I pay now I pay a price, that if I pay when I'm supposed to? So he gives a number of reasons. One is that there's a concept that if you buy wholesale, if you buy much of an item, you pay a better price than if you buy only a smaller amount of the item. So when you're buying a bus card and the bus card obligates you to many rides versus one ride, so you're getting a discount because you're going to buy many rides. Another explanation why that's not a problem is that it's much more convenient for the company that sells these bus cards to sell one card with many rides versus every time somebody comes to take a ride, they have to sell them the ride the separately. It's a time and effort to do that. I was thinking that nowadays where everything is done by a computer and you don't need to pay a person for selling cards, that may not be a heter. And then he makes one more observation. He says if somebody buys a bus card, for example, and there are 10 rides on the bus card, one of the calculations, he says, of the bus company is that I paid for 10 rides, but I may not end up taking 10 rides because I may end up losing the bus card. And I will have only the one that profits from me losing that is the bus company, because now they got paid for 10 rides, but I'm only going to take the amount of rides that I had the card for. And they're willing to enter that type of a gamble to make money. And therefore, that's another reason why that will not be considered tarsha that the Gemara is suggesting, besides Rav Chaim's tarsha, it's also. In our Gemara on Daf Samach Aleph Amabez, we had a machlokes of Yochanan and Elazar if Ribus Ketzutza is the Dayanim take it back or not. Yochanan's opinion is that once the loiva paid the Malva Ribus, the loiva can't get back his money. Rav Elazar's opinion was that even if after it was paid, they're entitled to get back the money. Says the Gemara, Velchasek Rav Elazar, the loch is like Rav Elazar, that Ribus Ketzutza is always taken back from the Malva to the loiva. We also had a machlokes on the Samach Gimel between Rav and Rav Yonai when somebody made a contract on produce that he gave money and he agreed that he's going to pay, he's going to give him fruit according to the current rate, even if when this contract is fulfilled, the fruit goes up in value. So we had a question that when the time of the contract comes up, could we ask, is it only permissible if you're going to give me the amount of fruit that we contracted on? That was Rav's opinion. And Rabbi Yannai's opinion was that you could give me even the value, even though it looks like ribis, because I gave you the example that we kept on using was I gave you $25 for a pound. And if I were going to get the pound, so even though I'm getting a pound at a time where the pound is worth $30, but that doesn't look like ribis because I bought a pound of apples. So I'm getting the pound that I contracted for. The fact that these apples are now more valuable is immaterial. But if we say, but if I'm going to get money, so Rav says, I gave $25 because that was the price of apples for a pound of apples. Now you're giving me the value of a pound of apples. The value of a pound of apples is $30. So it looks like ribis. I gave you 25, I'm getting 30. Rav Yannai, however, introduced the concept, mali hein. If you could give me the apples, you could give me the value. Mali hein, mali demeim. And says the Gemara, the hilchso daloch is Rav Yannai, that indeed we say mali hein, mali demeim. Says the Mishnah Machlai Sada, if somebody sold somebody else a field, for naslein mixes tamim, and the buyer gave the seller partial payment, vamalai, and the seller tells the buyer, whenever you want, you could pay the balance. And the property is yours, but you have to pay the balance. If you won't pay the balance, then the whole deal is null. Usur. That may not be done. Because if the seller will eat the payers of that property until he's paid, so then, or whether the buyer eats the property, in both cases there's a concern of ribis. Because if the seller eats the payers of that property, And now the buyer pays. So what happened was that this property really belonged to the buyer. I, the seller, were eating the payris is above and beyond the money that I was entitled to. That's ribis. If the lekeich eats the payris, why do we have to be concerned? That maybe at the end he will not pay, and the money, the seller will give back the money that he received, and that the fact, so that means the seller had access to this money, and for the right to have access to this money, the buyer ate payris, so it's ribis. Haveu sadeu. If somebody lent money to someone else, and the loiva put up his property as a mashkin, as security, as collateral. Amaloi, and the malva told the loiva, if you don't pay me up within 3 years, harei shali, this property is mine. And that's not ribis. Because of 3 years come and he didn't pay up, harei shaloi. Even though the field is worth more than the value of the loan, because we say that the value of the field is what the field was sold for. The kachay b'aisa benzuna oisim api chamim, the chamim allowed him to do what we just described. So says the Gemara, in a case, the first case of the Mishnah, where property was sold and the buyer gave partial payment, that we just said that we have an issue that it may end up, that the meicher will end up, if the meicher eats, it may end up, those payers, it may end up that he's doing ribis. If the lekeich, the buyer eats the payers, it may end up that he's doing ribis. So what do we do? Says the Gemara, Rav Hanan, I'm a meicher echel payers. As long as the lekeich didn't pay him up, it's not his field. And if he didn't, it's not his field, it's the field still belongs to the seller. And since the field still belongs to the seller, he's entitled to eat the payers. Rav Anan Amar, Rav Anan says they both may not eat the payers, and therefore what they should do is, Mishalshanos a payers, we put the payers by a third party, and nobody eats it until we see what happens at the end. Says Rav Eloi Pligi, there really is no machlokes Rav Huna Rav Anan. Ha, damal chimaisis, it depends how the deal is structured. If in a case where the seller tells the buyer, when you will pay me up, that's when the field becomes yours. Till then, the field is mine. So now the field is his. If the field is his, he may eat the payers of that field. However, if the way the deal was structured was, and that was the way we understood the Mishnah, that he said, l'chimaisis, that when you'll bring the money, the field will be yours from today, there is a possibility of ribis. Says the Gemara, Tanner of Safra, Ribis to Rav Chiya. When they learned the ribis in the Yeshiva of Chiya, Rav Safra said, regarding the case that we just described, Pamim Shnei Matarim, sometimes they both may eat those payers. Pamim Shnei Masurim, sometimes they both may not eat those payers. Pamim Shamoichim Motav Lekech Asar, sometimes the seller may eat, not the buyer. And then Mara explains. On a Rava Basrei, Rava explained. Pamsh name Matarim. Sometimes they both may eat the payris. Damale, where the seller says to the buyer, Kni kishir zuzach. You gave me a partial payment, and let's say he gave him 50%. So you own 50% of the field. So now they're both partners in the field. And each one can eat the payris from the part that he owns. Pam Shnei Masurim. Sometimes both the buyer and the seller may not eat. Damale, the case that we described in our Mishnah, that he sold him the property, he gave him a down payment, but he said, if you pay up, when you pay up, the property comes yours from today. And if you don't pay up, it's not. And like we said, if the Malvi eats or the Levi eats, they both may end up with ribis. Pam Shemaychem Motav Lekech Asar. Damale, that the seller told the buyer, the chimaisis, when you bring the money, kni, then the property becomes yours. So till then, the property belongs to the seller. Since until then, the property belongs to the seller and not to the buyer, the seller is allowed to eat the payris, and the buyer may not. Pam shalakech motav lekecher asur. What case was this? Dam like kni ma'achshav. The property is yours from today, and the money that you owe me is halahava al vargabach. So the property is yours. If the property is yours, you're allowed to eat the payers. And now you owe me money. But the ownership of the property is not dependent on that. You owe me money. It's a separate issue. And if the moicher will eat the peiris, those peiris end up being ribbis. Says the Gemara, man tana shnei mesurim. Who is the tana that says that both are asur? Says the Gemara, a concept that we've discussed many times already. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Yehuda, the like of Yehuda. It's not consistent with the opinion of Yehuda. Dear Rav Yehuda, if we want to remember the opinion of Yehuda, Hamet Sar Achas b'Ribis Mutter. Rav Yehuda says that there is never ribis where it won't necessarily be a case of ribis. What's going to be in our case where, let's say, this deal, as was mentioned, was kept? He gave the down payment, and then the buyer pays up for what, and buyer pays in a timely fashion. Now, since there's a possibility that he's going to pay in a timely fashion, and the field was his all along, so if the field was his all along, he was entitled to eat the payers. On the other hand, if he doesn't pay up, then the meicher will have gotten ribbis. But if he does pay up, if the meicher eats those payers, maybe if the lekeach doesn't end up paying, so then it was his field all along and he was entitled to it. Only if the lekeach pays, it turns out that what he ate was the ribbis. But since it's not for certain that there's going to be a ribbis, as we keep on repeating, Rav Yehuda's opinion is, there's only an issa ribbis when there's certainly going to be ribbis. In a case where it's not certain that there's going to be ribbis, then the halacha is that is not going to be considered a case of ribbis. And I saw that Rav Moshe Sternberg Shlita discusses that this is very important when somebody sells an apartment and the seller sells the apartment, but he wants to still be able to live in the apartment. And now we have to consider wannabe ribbis. And the only way that should be done is it should not be connected to the payments. That I can live in the seller may live in this apartment, in this house, until you pay me up. Rather, it should be a separate contract that the owner of the apartment, of the house, is allowed to stay there for whatever amount of time. Says the Gemara. The Braisa says, if somebody borrowed money from somebody else, or Mishkoi Bayis, and he gave him a house that's worth more than the value of the loan as collateral. Mishkoi Sada, or he gave him a field that's worth more than the value of the loan. And Amaloi, and the Malva says to Loiva, L'chishtirtsa l'makram, if you want to sell these properties that you just bought, I'm making a stipulation, L'timkre el libidam alalu. You have to sell it to me only for the small amount of money that I'll add to the amount that you owe me. Also, that's considered ribbis. Because I lent you money, I'm getting an opportunity to buy a property for less. But if they did not make this type of stipulation, I only say that if you're going to change your mind and want to sell these properties, I should have right of first refusal, and I'll pay shaveyem. Man or mutter, says the Marman Tana, who's the opinion that says that if he made this stipulation, you can't do so. Again, says the Gemara, Bedam halalu, at this lower price, it's ribbis and it's asur. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda b'Rei Rav Yeshua, the like Rav Yehuda. Dear Rav Yehuda, Amar Tzarech b'Ribbis Mitta, when it's not for certain we're going to have ribbis, it's not considered ribbis. And since it's not for certain here that the loiva will end up selling this property, so if he won't send the property, then the malva will not profit for having lent the money, and therefore it's not considered ribbis. Continues the Braisa. Machalai bayis, machalai soda. Vamalai, and the seller tells the buyer, l'chshiyu limas, when I will, mitzashem, have funds, hachzirim li, you have to sell me back this property, and I'll give you back the money, asur. Because what's going to happen here is that there really wasn't a sale. There was really just a loan. That the buyer lent money to the seller, and for the right to sell, for the right for lending that money, he was able to live in that house. And then if I buy it back, it ends up he lived in that house for free all the years. But if the way this deal was structured was the Cheshir L'chamos, where the buyer tells the seller, if you'll have money, Achzir Mloch, I'll sell you back the house, and you'll give me back mutter, then you give me back money, mutter. Matana, Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Rishud, like Rav Yehuda. Dear Rav Yehuda, even the first case should be mutter, because it's not for certain that I'll ever have the money to buy it back. That's Tzadakas Rutter. Ask the Gemara, but in this case, why is there a difference that when I said in the first case, Mashna Resha, that the Brisa said that if I have money and I made up a deal, then when I have money, you sell it back to me at this at the price where that it's usur. And when the buyer said it, it's mutter. Amar Rava. In Rava, says Rava, Sefer the Amalei Medate. The Sefer, the Lekeach, chose to be a nice person. It wasn't a stipulation in the sale. The sale is the sale. And the buyer is nice. He sees that the seller had to unfortunately sell his property. So he tells him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help, but Mitzvah Shem, if you can get yourself out of the mess, I'll be nice to you. But it wasn't a stipulation in the sale. In the first case, the seller made this a stipulation in the sale. When he made a stipulation in the sale, and then the buyer will have to return it and get back his money, that turns out the buyer being in this property all these years will be a ribbis payment.